So let's come to God's word this morning. I will be sharing the word with you. And if you have a Bible, can you open it to Matthew 18? And we're going to read from verse 21 to 35. Okay? Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 70 times? He thought he was being smart. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 70 times, but 77 times, or 7 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold were brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. The fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison because he could not pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on the fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Whoa. Serious passage of scripture. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
What is the common human tendency? To get something, or to give something, to get something for nothing, or to give something and demand everything. Another would be, I'd put it this way, treat others as you don't want to be treated. I'll say that again. Treat others as you don't want to be treated. Isn't that true? Okay. And Jesus was having a chat with his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And there were different things that he was chatting in this passage. One of the rules of scripture is always know the context in which Jesus is talking. Okay, so we need to back up. And if you look at the beginning of verse of chapter 18, he's talking about what is the kingdom of heaven like? This whole dialogue is about what are the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus is telling them that the kingdom of heaven belongs to children, or such as these. You need to have childlike faith to be part of the kingdom, childlike humility, qualities of trust. Then Jesus goes on to tell them the value that the kingdom of heaven places on each one of us. He's not talking about people who are unsaved. Who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? To you and me. Okay, he's talking about us. Say he's talking about me. This is not a discussion he's having about unbelievers. Okay, there are sheep that belong to the shepherd. He's talking about the parable of the lost sheep. Who is the parable of the lost sheep talking about? Anyone, unmute and you can answer. Who is the lost sheep?
Me.
Sorry, who's that?
Yeah. Angela. Me.
Okay, me. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Right.
Okay. In biblical language, God always refers to us as his sheep and to the unbeliever as goats. The first you need to know, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Because if you're a sheep, you're one of the 100. And what is God's attitude towards us when we tend to wander off? Any of you tend to wander off? I do. Okay? And when we wander off, does he leave us to wander off? No. What is his heart? His heart is one for restoration. He comes after you. Okay, can you say, God comes after me.
God comes after me.
He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. This is not about salvation. You are already saved. But as sheep, we tend to wander off. Okay? Sheep can lose their way and Jesus will never forsake us. And so this whole thing, even about forgiveness, is a continuation about what are the values of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God wants us to have childlike faith. The kingdom of God comes after us because he values each one of us. And in the same way, the kingdom of God values forgiveness highly. God takes forgiveness seriously. And he wants us to understand this. So there is really in this story, there are not much mysteries. It's pretty self-explanatory. Okay. Unlike the parable of the soils, each thing has a meaning and we have to uncover it. This story is pretty self-explanatory. Okay. So, but Peter is scratching his head. You know, he's talking about the lost sheep. He's talking about this and that. And then he thinks, he says, but what about forgiveness? How many times do I need to go after this stray sheep? How many times do I need to pull it back and bring it back into the pen? And he's saying, 7 times, Lord. And God says, 70 times seven in a day. That is amazing. Okay. This servant, in today's terms, owed the master, it says, 200,000 man years in wages. Some Bible scholars have done this calculation. I'm just going with it. Okay. 200,000 years in man wages. And then he throws his friend in for a mere $20,000. Can you think about that for a minute? So it's not one lifetime over of work, 2 lifetimes over of work. It's just 200,000 lifetimes over of work is what this man owed. Okay. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? There are several players in this story. There is the master. There is the servant. There's the servant's friend. And there are the torturers. Okay. The point Jesus is making is look at the amount of grace and mercy that each one of us have received. Was there anything you could do to earn it, to pay for it? I think the resounding answer is no. There was nothing that we could do. Okay. You owed far more, many times of life over. Therefore, we need to show mercy in the same manner. These days, everybody likes a sugar-coated pill. How many of you like a sugar-coated pill? I do. It's really bitter otherwise. Okay? But we treat life like that too. And we live in a society that medicates to avoid pain and reality. And unfortunately, today's message is not a sugar-coated pill. Okay? Tell me, if you went to a doctor and you had a lump on your hand and the doctor said, I need to cut it off. Would you allow the doctor to cut it off? If he told you that it is cancerous and if you don't cut it off, in 6 months it could cost you your life. Will you allow the doctor to cut it off? Give me a thumbs up if you agree.
Yes.
I like interaction, okay?
Yes, I would.
But it's going to pain. Would you let the doctor cut it off?
Yes.
You would still let the doctor cut it off because the choice is either you face a little pain today and live a longer life or you say, I don't want to face pain and die in 6 months. Okay? So today's message is a little bit like that. You have to trust the surgeon's knife. You need to go under the knife so that you have a little pain today, but you will have healing for a lifetime. Okay? So let the word of God that is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword be like a surgeon's knife on your heart today. Okay? Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now with your surgeon's knife, with your x-ray, with your light. Will you shine into our hearts? And would you help us and show us areas in our life that need adjustment and change? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So today I think it's obvious we're going to look at this topic of unforgiveness and offense. You know, this lockdown period can be pretty trying for some of us where we have not spent so much time with the people in your household. You can be rubbing shoulders the wrong way. You can be getting on each other's nerves. Or there could be issues that you swept under the carpet because of busyness of life. You were able to not deal with it, but now you're in each other's face and you have to deal with it. Okay? Or this is a time for reflection. You say, hey, you know, I've had unresolved issues that I need to sort out. So whatever it is, let the Holy Spirit do his work. Nothing affects us more than unforgiveness, bitterness, and offense. Unforgiveness creates blocks in our heart. It colors our judgment on everything and everyone we meet, not just the person that we think has sinned against us. That is the biggest deception. Slowly, your heart turns bitter. Everything is seen through those filters or lenses, and you tend to read motive into people's, even people's kindness. You are unable to receive. You say, why is she doing that to me? Why is he saying that to me? And you accord motive and you judge people out of the bitter roots that are there in your heart. Jesus is not calling us to a philosophy of forgiveness. He wants us to live it out in practice. Philosophies never changed our heart. The practice of it changed our heart. When unforgiveness is not dealt with, it then turns into bitter roots. Bitterness, as Bill Johnson says, is murder in diapers. Bitterness is murder in diapers, in nappies, okay? You don't actually kill a person. And really, when you look, even studies done on people who have been incarcerated for murder, a lot of it has got to do with bitterness and anger. They lash out at people who are not even connected to the pain that they are carrying, you see? So this, my friends, is a dangerous, dangerous thing. We were not meant to be vessels to carry bitterness. We were made to carry the presence of God in our hearts, not bitterness. Bitterness is poison that not only affects you, but affects those around you. And we'll come to that, you know, in a bit. Bitterness can even blind you to the kindness and the repentance of the person that sinned against you. You are so inflamed with hate that you don't even see that that person is sorry for what they've done and they are taking steps towards being good to you. And you will just see it as, oh, what does he want now? They're just trying to get into my good books to get something. And so you're unable to even receive love and forgiveness. So what is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness, first of all, let me say, can happen to the best of us. Anyone here who has not struggled with unforgiveness? Let me put it another way. How many of you have struggled with unforgiveness? Give me a thumbs up. Okay, the rest of you, I think, belong in heaven. All, I think, most of us have dealt with unforgiveness. And the unforgiveness often... we harbor unforgiveness because we feel entitled to be treated in a certain way, right? We feel entitled to be treated in a certain way. And when that expectation is not met, we take offense. Unforgiveness can happen when I jump to wrong conclusions about a person's behavior or what they've said or what I think their motives are. Like I said, unmet expectations. We often judge people with a higher standard than we apply to ourselves. Anyone been there? We have high expectations of everyone else, whereas we give ourselves such a wide margin that we're off the page. There's no page left. Such a big margin we've given ourselves. You know, and we don't even see it. And the Bible talks about this as this forest in your eye when you are trying to pick a speck from your neighbor's eye. And we have to be so careful. You know, we're trying to pick a small speck of dust from our neighbor's eye when we've got a whole plank in our eye. Okay? What is the result of unforgiveness? And I sincerely ask you at this time, say, Jesus. Actually say it. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Help me bring my walls of defense down.
Help me to bring my walls of defense down.
There's nobody listening to you. No one can hear you. This is now transacting between you and God. Okay? And say, Holy Spirit, help me to see where my heart is being blocked. Okay? Like I said, I don't want to leave today having given you a philosophy or principles. I am hoping that this will be life transforming. So, one of the things of results of unforgiveness is often we can be blind to our own faults while expecting everybody else to toe the line. You should have done this, you should have done that, but we have high expectations for someone else. We are slow to forgive and harbor unforgiveness for a long time, and we can be licking wounds imagined or real. Okay, we can be licking wounds imagined or real. It still doesn't make it right. We are not open to any feedback. So when any offense happens, we immediately take offense of how, supposing someone gives you feedback, because our heart is so clogged, we immediately take offense at how it was spoken, when it was spoken, the tone of voice. It was not the right time. You triggered something in me, and we just push the blame back onto someone else without seeing what is the issue at hand. We become fault finders with everyone. No one is perfect. No one can do anything right. They did this, they did that. They could have done it better. They could have held it at 5 o'clock. Why at 9 o'clock? Why on Tuesday? Why not on Thursday? Etc., etc. Okay? When they take offense, oftentimes they will retreat or go cold on a friendship, and they're not interested in dialogue and reconciliation. So they give you the cold shoulder or the cold treatment. The end result of this negative behavior pattern is that then finally people start avoiding you. And then you say, oh, people are rejecting me. Can you see the cycle? You behave in a cold withdrawing, and then you blame others for rejecting you. And it's a vicious cycle. Okay? They're unable to discern who their true friends are. Okay? So they never form deep relationships. They have major trust issues. Because you are so clouded by your unforgiveness, you can't see things for what they really are. And you don't know who your true friends are. And oftentimes it's the true friends that will be honest with you. People who don't care about you will not bother to give you feedback. I say, that's her problem. Let her be. But a true friend will tell you the truth and speak the truth to you in love. Maybe sometimes not so loving. Don't catch the tone of voice and the timing. Hear what is being said, you know. But here, they don't know who their true friends are. Because they now want to, they have trust issues, they can become very controlling, and they immediately reject people when things don't go their way. Any criticism is taken personally, And very quickly, a matter goes from conflict to strife. Oftentimes, expectations are not voiced. They expect you to read their minds. You should have called me up, no? You should have known, no, I am lonely. You should have. And when you don't, offense is taken. So you may encounter passive, what we call passive aggressive behavior. What is that? I won't do something I know you want. I won't do something I know you want. And I will do something I know you don't like. It's both. That is passive aggressive behavior. Let's flesh that out a bit. It's like, I know you want me, you don't like me coming late. Okay, but you persist in coming late. Okay, so you don't do what I like. You know that I like maybe tea, you'll make coffee for me. You keep forgetting and not make tea, you'll make coffee. I'm just giving silly examples. But how many of you are saying, this makes sense. And we can do that with people. Passive aggressive is a classic. I think we've all done it. In church setting, which church has been part of my life, I think, all my conscious days. I think I was part of church from the age of 5. I have seen this one factor as being the most detrimental to unity, to harmony in a church, where we can be so petty about such absolutely, and I'm going to use the word stupid, spirit of stupid comes into us and blinds us. Okay? And we are at the drop of a hat, ready to pick up our bags and walk out. And you go to the next church. And you know what the problem is? The next church also doesn't satisfy you. Do you know why? Because you took that baggage with you there. And you put the same expectations on other people. This is hard stuff. Listen, Jesus didn't shy away from saying some pretty hard things. But my friends, if today this saves you from the root of bitterness, then I have done my job. Okay, and that is my prayer and that is my goal for today. How many of us have given in to thoughts of discord? How many of us have encouraged gossip and slander? You know, it's a very strange thing. Bitter people know how to find other bitter people. It'll be interesting to see who the friends are. And a lot of conversations will be mocking, laughing, jeering at other people like they are perfect and without sin. My friends, if we want to take the world for Jesus, it starts with us. Do you know what Jesus said? He never asked you to have a 5-point program for evangelism. He didn't ask you to feed the poor. Don't hear what I'm not saying. He didn't ask you to have the best worship. He said, they will know that you are my disciples if you
love one another.
Can you imagine, few hours before he went to Gethsemane, he should have been giving them some amazing philosophies about reaching the world. And do you know what he said? They will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It is that important that few hours before the crucifixion, he is talking about this. This was Jesus's strategy to reach the world. And my friends, when people see our love, we become like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And people ask, what is it about you guys? What is it about you guys? And you would not have to say much because they say, I believe you because I can see how you live. What is this torment that Jesus is talking about in the story? Do you know? The torment is the torment in your own mind and heart. When you don't forgive, you are tormented by those thoughts. You can't sleep, you can't eat, and you wake up thinking about the person that hurt you or offended you. And oh my gosh, you know, what does it lead? Oftentimes, it leads to physical ailments like headaches, pain in the back, pain in the neck, high blood pressure, diabetes. And I'm not saying all those who suffer from these illnesses have unforgiveness, okay? But oftentimes, it can lead to ulcers in the stomach, because every time you get angry, you release a whole lot of gastric juices into your system. And it leads to, you see, a lot of angry people have high blood pressure, have ulcers. Do yourself a favor today. So what do we do? What is the answer? I'm burning with this. I can't forgive this person. What do I do? The answer is one word. Forgive. Forgive. There is no other thing. Forgive. But what is this? If you read the story, you will catch the emotion and you realize that, hey, Jesus was not telling a bedtime story. Please do not read this story to children when they go to bed. They'll have nightmares. This is not a bedtime story. This is a wake-up story. Wake up. You are killing yourself. Okay? Jesus takes a serious view of unforgiveness. He, in fact, in the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And the only thing that Jesus goes back to in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 5 is this part on forgiveness. He says, if you forgive other people, your sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive others, so your heavenly Father will also not forgive your sins. That serious. He's not talking about salvation. You will be tormented by your unforgiveness. Who wants to be tormented? Anybody want to be tormented?
No.
Far from it. We want to live a life of abundance. If you want to live a life of abundance and joy, then today is a day to get rid of that filthy baggage. Okay? We have been forgiven all our sins.
Yes.
Say all.
All.
All. All. All. All. All. Past, present, future. As far as the east is from the west. I've got a globe with me. Someone show me where east begins and west ends. Some people really don't know. Does east and west end? Okay, someone show me where north and south are.
North is up.
North is here.
South
is here. It can be measured. Can you measure east and west?
No.
You see, we have a very clever God. Say, God, you're very smart. East, as far as the east is from the west. Can these fingers touch this finger?
No.
No. It is limitless. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgression. Psalm 103. Read it when you later. Forgiveness does not make them right. Forgiveness does not make them right if someone has truly offended you. Okay? But it makes you free. Say, forgiveness makes me free. Forgiveness makes me free. Forgiveness is the best gift you can give yourself. Forgiveness does not mean that you do not have a right to protect yourself. If you are in an abusive relationship, someone is beating you up, someone is harming you, you have a right to protect yourself. Okay? You can forgive, but you can remove yourself from a harmful place. Forgiveness does not mean I need to trust you again. You need to earn my trust. So for example, if I lent you my car and you bash it up, will I lend you my car again? Maybe I will, because we give people a second chance. And if you bash it up again, will I lend you my car the third time?
No.
I probably give you my scooter. Okay? I may give you the scooter because I want to give you a chance to earn my trust. And if you bash up my scooter, I'll give you the cycle. And if you do anything to my cycle, I'll tell you, take bus number 11. Okay? So do you get the point? I've forgiven you. But now you need to show that you are trustworthy. So if you bash my car, I give you my scooter. If you bash my scooter, I might give you my cycle. And if you dare bash my cycle, I'll tell you, take bus number 11. You know what bus number 11 is?
Food.
Go walking.
Walk.
Okay? So, forgiveness does not mean that I don't talk about the issue. In fact, Matthew 18, 15 encourages us to talk about this. Says, if your brother has sinned against you, go and resolve the matter just between the two of you. We are encouraged to reconcile conflict. Okay? Forgiveness does not mean there won't be consequences. Sometimes our actions are so bad that there are consequences, my friends. Doesn't mean that we've not been forgiven by God, and it doesn't mean we don't forgive one another. It's like, for example, the person bashed my car. I have forgiven, but the car still has a dent in it, right?
Yeah.
The car still has a dent in it. So what is the remedy? It's simple, but it's not simplistic. It's a battle of the mind. I have to choose to forgive. I need to have the courage to speak. I need to have the humility to hear what another person has to say, especially if I have caused offense. If I have caused offense, I need humility, I need strength of character and a sober judgment of myself. I need to be able to give oodles of grace to the person who has offended me. I need strength to forgive. You know, the best antidote to unforgiveness, bless the person. Just love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and despisefully treat you. Pray for those who despisefully treat you. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And soon you'll find the sting of that unforgiveness begins to disappear. Because you can't bless and curse at the same time. Okay? Remember this one thing. The car that ran over your foot is not going to come back to heal you. Okay? The car that ran over your foot is not going to come back to heal you. You will need to find healing elsewhere. And first, healing is found in the cross. And healing is found in a healthy community. Okay? Healing takes time, so don't confuse it with forgiveness. You may say, I have forgiven, but why does it still hurt? The car ran over you. You have a fractured foot. That foot is going to take time to heal. And it's the same with your heart. The heart will take time to heal, but you stand in forgiveness. Okay? This sounds like a whole action plan for superheroes. Do you feel like that? It feels like that. My God, I can't do this. But trust me, Jesus has been tempted in every way. Okay? And he sympathizes with our weakness. He says we will not be tempted more than we can handle. And I need to remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can win and lick this problem. I have a choice to be offended or to forgive. I have a responsibility not to cause offense. I need to be careful how I speak, who I speak to, what I speak. And my prayer is that we will begin to be channels of peace. Life is short. Let's keep short accounts and be offensive on this habit of taking offense. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I ask that there's been a whole lot of stuff. These notes are going to go up on the blog for your reflection later. But Lord, I ask that you now, by your Spirit, you will examine our hearts. Help us to know where we have caused offense first, that we may go and seek forgiveness of the people we have offended. And those things that have been, where people have sinned against us, help us to release in Jesus' name. Help us to release, God, and give ourselves the best gift in life of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the breaking of bread this morning.